$321, that's your average person spending over the five-day Thanksgiving period. Per person, $321. 10 hours, the length of time the average American male would need to spend on the treadmill to burn the 4,500 calories consumed at the average Thanksgiving meal. You folks are going to spend $1.2 billion on turkey, just on turkey this year. $26 million, the amount of property loss caused by residential building fires this Thanksgiving. Yikes. Don't deep fat fry your chicken, your turkey in the house, all right? Take it outside. 61% is the share of people celebrating Thanksgiving who will be trying to avoid talking politics. That seems low to me, 61%. I think would have thought it would be much higher. It is the Thanksgiving week, and my prayer for you is unrestricted, unrestrained Thanksgiving. That your heart will be free to pour out your praises and your thanksgiving to God. Saying thank you is an obligation. It's a joyous obligation that we have. And I thought it might be good to talk about those things that restrict us. Situations in which Thanksgiving might be difficult. And as we think about our relationship to God, trying to clear away some of that so that our Thanksgiving is indeed full-throated, unobstructed Thanksgiving to God. I checked, and Emily Post has already addressed the difficult thank you. She writes that the most difficult thank you letter to write is the one you owe for a gift that you can't bear. She says it's all very well to say it's the thought that counts, but we sometimes receive gifts that are so dreadful or so inappropriate that's impossible to believe that the donor thought at all. So she offers some suggestions. You might want to write some of these down or put them in your phone. You might need these over the holiday season, all right? So here's some wording for you to get you going. You have the most original ideas. Whoever else would have found such an unusual gurgling pitcher? Or how about this one? The silver and gold bowl is so unique, it's become a real conversation piece in our home. The upside-down clock is simply fascinating. I've never seen anything quite like it. And she wrote, some neighbors of my grandparents gave them a pumpkin pie as a holiday gift. As lovely as the gesture was, it was clear from the first bite that the pie tasted bad. It was so inedible that my grandmother had to throw it away. Ever gracious and tactful, she still felt obliged to send the neighbors a note. And the note read this way, thank you very much for the pumpkin pie. Something like that doesn't last long in our house. Is that beautiful? Some people just have a knack for saying the right thing. I thought there might be some other Thanksgiving unique thank you situations that might deserve our attention. You know, you don't thank your mysterious, invisible neighbor for leaving you alone all week. I can see you writing that out. You know, you've never seen this person. The garage door goes up and goes down, and it's just sort of a mysterious shadow individual living next door. But you sit down to write a nice little card with a harvest scene, and with your flowing script, you read, you write, thanks. I haven't seen much of you this year, and well, I just want you to know I appreciate the effort. Right? You're not going to write that. Thank you implies a relationship. Thank you implies a relationship. It has to be a warm, heartfelt relationship. If you're wondering if you owe anyone a thank you card, you don't look in the phone book, you look in your date book. That will give you your clue. Gratitude, you see, doesn't thrive in the rare air of independence. It thrives in the air of a warm and growing relationships. You don't thank the checker at the hardware store. Well, you do, right? And it's weird. It's always weird. He says, thanks for your business, and you never say you're welcome. You say, thank you, back. Everybody says thank you as it comes to it. Everybody says thank you. I suppose what you mean is for your servants' service, but why is thank you necessary at all? I mean, at the hardware store, they got your money, and you got your thingamabob. It's even Steven. It's business as usual. It's a bartered transaction. So everybody came out square. Why is anybody thanking anybody anyway? You just exchanged goods. Everything's even. Just walk away. Maybe that's why both parties say thank you and nobody says you're welcome. Thankfulness should imply that somebody has been blessed. Thankfulness should imply that somebody has been blessed. Someone has been the recipient of grace. It's kind of awkward in a transaction where everything is even Steven. So gratitude has got to be more than the formality of a symbiotic relationship. So I got one last situation, if you don't mind. You don't thank your mom when she drives you to your school activity. Well, I mean, maybe you should, right? Maybe you should, but it's really no big deal. And you can get away without doing it. After all, you're a dependent if you're a child, and so you're entitled to the service. So a person who is entitled often feels no obligation to say, thank you. Besides, if you get started with that kind of thing, where's it going to end? Thank you for laundry? Thank you for meals? Pfft. If you feel entitled to the blessings you have, you're far less likely to be thankful. Gratitude languishes in an atmosphere of obligation. Thanksgiving is so, I can't tell you, Thanksgiving is so important in Scripture. I'm nearly convinced that if someone would ask me, what's the one thing I can do to advance my relationship with God, take a big leap forward in my spiritual life this next year, I'm not sure I could offer anything better than say, get better at giving thanks. It's just that important. It just revolutionizes the relationship, the disposition you have towards God. It revolutionizes the disposition you have towards your experience and your circumstances. Thankfulness will change you. Will change you, so I advocate it. And I don't want you to choke on your Thanksgiving this year. Now, you choke on those things, you find restrictions when you have misunderstandings about God. When we have misunderstandings about how we think about ourselves and about our relationship with God, we will find restricted Thanksgiving. It'll be throttled down. We can't give our all to it. We can't give it full voice. We'll have restrictions. So let's work back through those things that I've already illustrated, and let's attend to them. Okay, so we observe gratitude does not thrive in the rare air of independence. Let me say it differently. Thank you will get stuck in your throat when you feel God is distant and uninvolved in your life. If you've always suspected that God wasn't all that directly connected to your day in and day out activities, you're going to have a hard time at the dinner table giving a full-throated praise to God. After all, what has He done for me lately? The mistake here is to believe that God is somehow on the periphery. You're a 90%, not 100, but you're a 90% self-made man. You know, for all the negatives we've heard about the church of Corinth at the time in the New Testament, in some ways they must have been very, very successful. So successful, in fact, that they could develop a competitive spirit. They were competitive regarding their ministry accomplishments. And they talked about how good they were. And to these spiritually proud people, Paul wrote strong words with a very wide application. They're up there on the screen. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? This is advice to us whenever we're recognized. whenever you are recognized for service, whenever you're recognized for ability, for accomplishment, for attractiveness, immediately, what do I have that I have not received? What do I have that I have not received from God Himself? Whenever we lose sight of the fact that the advantages of our lives come from our Father in heaven, God slips into the periphery, and then gratitude dies right there. In 1912, fragments of bone which had been discovered in England were carefully pieced together, glued up, and then presented to the world. The human-sized skull with an ape's jaw was a clear example of a transitional form between apes and humans. The problem was Piltdown Man was a hoax, that took 40 years to put to rest. Piltdown Man was a hoax, Nebraska Man is a myth, and the self-made man is both a myth and a hoax. There are none. What do we have that is not from God? We also noted that gratitude is little more than a formality in a symbiotic relationship. You know what that is? Symbiotic relationship. You're just getting out you're each getting out of a relationship just what you need, right? So an example of mutual symbiosis. I've got a clownfish up here. A clownfish that dwells among the tentacles of sea anemones. This territorial fish will drive out other fish that eat anemones. They're very territorial, so they'll push these other fish away. And in turn, the stinging tentacles of the anemone protect the clownfish from its predators. Mucus on the clownfish protects it from the tentacles. So they each get what they want out of the relationship. And I'm telling you, if your relationship with God, if you perceive that it's that sort of a, we're each getting what we want, your Thanksgiving is going to be restricted. Now, you might be saying, he's thinking way too hard. Just give me a chance here. Let me explain. I know that you have never prayed, Lord, thank you for our 50-50 partnership. Dear God, this is great. Love the way you're keeping your end of the bargain up while I do my part. Those words would never cross your mind. But isn't it true that all it takes is the attitude that God does his thing? You know, he answers prayer and he blesses me. And I do my thing. I give him credit for his goodness and I thank him. Isn't it just easy for that to slip in? He's doing his, I'm doing mine. This is all working out just swell. In that case, your Thanksgiving, it's a formality. You're just going through the motions. The truth is, we have nothing to offer God that he needs from us. There's nothing to balance the account of his grace. There's no debt management in our relationship with God. He just gives and gives and gives. When Paul was at Mars Hill in Greece, in Athens, he spoke to the religious men who were there. And he said in Acts chapter 17, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he's Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. You're a receiver. You are a recipient. You will always be in God's debt. Psalm 90, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You are God. That's the nature of your relationship with him. You are the recipient, and he is the gracious giver. Then just one last idea here. Gratitude languishes in an atmosphere of obligation. This is where you believe God is an obligated giver. You know, well, God's essence, his character, that's who he is. He's good and he's gracious, so somehow this is sort of automatic. He just is what he is. You're his servant, after all, and that's kind of like a waiter, and waiters get a minimum 15%, even if you're eating at a buffet. Oops, did I sound a little bitter there? It's obligatory. God gives. So if God simply gives you a tip, do you have to thank him? It's certainly true that God will always act consistently with his character. God never struggles with guilt or self-doubt. But we must never turn what is one of his great excellencies into a fault. If by saying that God will always act according to his character, we mean that he's somehow less free to choose, we have misunderstood and underestimated his greatness dramatically. God is free, and if he has blessed you, he has blessed you freely according to his own sovereign choice. Not out of obligation even to himself. He freely blesses you. Psalm 115. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Isaiah 46. Remember the former things long past. I'm God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God blesses you freely from his good pleasure. When God blesses you, it's a choice, and he could freely have chosen something else instead. Let's give our Thanksgiving full voice this year. Remember that God is the source of your every blessing. His grace is a debt you can't and should not attempt to repay. God is never obligated, but always gives freely. These are the truths about God that magnify who he is and loosens our tongues to give thanksgiving. I found this article, where was this? This was from a staff writer in the Beaver County Times. I have no idea where Beaver County is. I didn't look that up. All right? I found this very useful, and it made me think about my relationship with my Heavenly Father deeply. The title of the article was, I'm saying no thanks to the term, I'm good. This person writes, it's mom. So it's a gal here. We were hunkered down in the living room, enjoying a DVD and savoring the last evening of winter break. Do you want another blanket? I said to my son. I've got a pile here. I'm good, he said, never taking his eyes from the screen. My mind was wrenched away from Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. I couldn't let it go. No thanks, I said, pausing the movie. It's no thanks, not I'm good. A round of sighs filled the room. They knew what was coming. And yes, I then delivered one of my famous lectures on manners, where it became cemented in my children's minds that if there is ever a reality show called America's Most Droning Parent, I'm a superstar. Although to give my son credit, at least I'm good was a response. Sometimes I ask a teenager a question only to receive a blank stare, not even a nod of acknowledgement, a tilt of the head, or a scratch of the ear. For a while, I thought that my voice projected at some strange, inaudible to teens pitch, the way some whistles can only be heard by dogs. But when I hear one of my own kids say, I'm good, instead of no thanks or no problem instead of you're welcome, I cringe. I feel like they're starting down the slippery slope of declining civilization. I'm not sure when the shift to I'm good began or why it bothers me so much, probably because that phrase shifts the focus from the giver of things to the givee. Like that? From the giver of things to the givee. And that's reflective of a self-absorbed attitude. And in my humble opinion, That's one of the things that's wrong with kids today. Let me rephrase that, she writes. It's what's wrong with Americans today. As we're celebrating this week, let's get our focus back on God the giver. God the giver, and let's offer him true thanksgiving, the kind that he is really due. Here's what I'd like this Thanksgiving for you. You know how you shake someone's hand and you kind of give a thanks as you're moving away? You know, it's just a casual exchange, thanks, and you're moving away. And then maybe you realize, you know what, that's not good enough for what just happened there. This occasion deserves better. Our relationships deserve better. And so you hold on to that handshake just a little bit longer. And maybe you draw that person back to you and you get eye contact again and you say, no, really. And you look into that person's eyes and you take the time to say, no, really. Thank you. That's what I'd like you to do, if you could, in your relationship with God. In what could just be a regular old routine Thanksgiving where you go through the motions and we all know how busy it is, and it could just be a thanks, a nod to God, thanks. I want you to remember at this moment when it occurs this week, and I want you to say no. And look God in the eyes. Good luck with that. But from a deep place, say, no, you deserve better. I mean it. Thank you. Thank you for who you are and what you mean to me. God deserves that sincere, heartfelt, humble, I'm forever in your debt. Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, our relationship with you is at the source of many of our difficulties in life. We have misconceptions about you. We underestimate your power. We underestimate your greatness. And we also underestimate your grace and your love. So many of the things that are good in our life, we feel at least a bit responsible for. We feel just a little like we have made it happen apart from you. We diminish the sense of your all-encompassing love. So, Heavenly Father, while we take time this week, I pray that you'd give us pause. Help us to reflect. Help us to remember that you're the source of every blessing. And help us to give you the thanks that you are due. In Jesus' name.